Welcome back to Up the Coast with Alex and Britt. We are officially kicking off episode one. Britt, it's the best time of the year. College softball season is starting this week.
Let's go.
Let's go, baby. And I feel like we're really on brand. I mean, my hair got a little pinker. I've got the hearts on my sweater. Valentine's Day coming up. You've got a nice...
That's a T-Swift sweater.
You're right.
That I is love the car. And it's a cardigan.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. I'm
fantasy. We're Swifties.
Girl. We're Swifties. We love it. We grew up with her. So, hey, a little nod to her and her boyfriend, Taylor's boyfriend, playing in the Super Bowl this weekend. I mean, what could be better? But let's talk about – I can't disclose that on air.
Not Taylor's no, I'm just boyfriend. We're cheering for Taylor's boyfriend.
I love Travis Kelce. Like, I love him. However, my boyfriend, who I also love, is like a diehard Eagles fan. So I will be in an Eagles jersey once I get home on Sunday. Yeah. What about you?
I'm going for the Chiefs just for Taylor's boyfriend. And once Travis leaves the Chiefs, I will hate the Chiefs. Hate them. Okay. But for now, I'm with them.
But for now, go Taylor's boyfriend. Yes. All right, good stuff. Well, speaking of on brand, obviously Valentine's Day is coming up as well. Like I said, pink and pink everywhere for me. What do you have going on this weekend, Britt? I feel like you've got some things going in the pipeline.
Yeah, I am coming down to your state, even though I won't get to see you because you've got some JOBs going on, calling a ton of games, right, at UCF.
Yeah.
I'm going down to the NFCA Leadoff Classic. There'll be three ACC teams there. There'll be... Notre Dame, Duke, and Pitt will be there. So get to see Notre Dame, new head coach, taking over, new assistants. Duke, see what they're doing. They're going to play some really good games. They've got Nebraska, Mississippi State. So there'll be some good games down there. I'm excited to see some ACC teams in person week one.
I know. Why don't you show everybody your nice little Florida mug as well?
Oh, yeah. So we learned that the Florida State flower is the orange blossom. So, you know, just getting ready for some sunshine.
I know. Lucky you. Lucky everybody, too, because I will say it's been freaking cold here and it's literally beautiful outside right now in the 70s, like not a cloud in the sky that I can see outside my window. So
perfect.
Good stuff. Everybody's lucky. But okay, let's get into this week and kind of just even a little bit recapping last year. Obviously, this is episode one. So kind of like a look ahead, but also a look back and a nod to some of the teams, what went well and what didn't. So the ACC graduated a lot of good talent. Tell me a little bit first just about Duke and kind of what we're expecting to see there. Obviously, you get to watch them this weekend.
Yeah, I think they definitely lost. I mean, the ACC player of the year in Claire Davidson, pitcher of the year in Jayla Wright. They have a ton of ACC freshmen of the year coming back, though. But those Jayla Wright, the Claire Davidson, I mean, they didn't win those awards for no reason. Jayla was the ace all regular season for the past 2 years. Claire Davidson was probably the most clutch player I've ever seen. When they needed a double, she would come up and clear the bases and get them the runs when they needed them. So Duke, I'm not too concerned with them, but they did lose some big pieces. But Mercy Young's going to right that ship and just reload like she always does.
Yeah, I agree. And that's where depth is so important. And I think that we obviously got to cover a really great Duke team last year, but those were a really big like 1-2 punch just in regard to offense and defense and what Jayla Wright was able to do in the circle. But let's even move past that now, going and talking a little bit about Clemson, because I feel like they might be unfortunately just suffering the most loss. Not to say that they obviously can't recover, but they had really impactful players. So Clemson and UNC were both up there with the amount of people they graduated, but Clemson had the Valerie Cagles and Mackenzie Clarks, the Aaliyah Logoleos, and Billy Thompson, Reagan Spencer, Ariel Oda, JoJo Hyatt. Like, I mean, those people were just, most of them, right? Like everyday starters. I mean, they were nationally known with some of the awards and stuff. Of course, you had Valerie Cagle, like amazing, Mackenzie Clark playing pro. Like they did really great stuff. That's really tough. Like, I don't know how you bounce back after that. It feels like a little bit of a punch in the gut.
I mean, just the number of players graduating is one thing, but those players particularly, the foundation of Clemson, they started that program. They made it a household name. They put Clemson softball on the map. So it almost, as an outsider looking in, is like the heart of Clemson just graduated. And they just happened to be uber talented at the same time. But like Mercy Young, John Rittman's a phenomenal seasoned veteran coach, and he knows how to kind of rebuild. And I really, you know, is this going to be a rebuild year for Clemson? I'm kind of leaning that way just because of who they graduated and that leadership and those intangibles. I mean, these players were Clemson softball. And there'll never be a class that can say, hey, I started Clemson softball and graduated in that class that put Clemson on the map. That's a little extra that those players have that nobody else will have. But I'm sure their legacy and leadership has passed down to the underclassmen that played under them.
Yeah, I feel like the ACC really just suffered in general as a conference. Like, I say a loss, obviously there's a lot of upside and potential that comes with that, but just the amount of impactful players across the country and the numbers that a lot of them put up, whether it's in the circle, offensively, and their power, and just their leadership. So that's going to be tough. Florida State also graduated a few really impactful people too. Kaylee Mudge, Jeff Flaherty, Kaylee Harding. Again, just some seniors that really made a difference. Obviously, you had some in the circle too with royalty and whatnot. But just again, the people putting up the highest numbers, I think, is where you kind of look at loss and what that is. But obviously, there's a lot of intangibles that come with it. Notre Dame, Karina Gaskins. I mean, a couple years ago, she was the ACC Player of the Year.
I know. I feel like she kind of got lost in the shuffle with all these big names around her. But Karina Gaskins held her own. Her senior year, nobody would pitch to her, and that sucked for her, right? I mean, she obviously led the ACC in walks. I'd have to look up the number, but it was something ridiculous. Yeah. Nobody would pitch to her. Highly respected, did a great job. Really hate to see her go.
Yeah, tough stuff all around. Georgia Tech suffered a couple of losses too. Mallory Black, she was another one that we really loved covering last year. Mm-hmm. Again, almost kind of gave me the Claire Davidson vibes from Duke. And Mallory Black was just able to put up really good numbers and really be that impactful player for her team. But I don't know. I'm so excited to see kind of how the chips fall the next couple of weeks. Because also, Brett, you know, every coach I've talked to leading up to all these games that I'm calling this weekend, I mean, the song and dance the first couple of weeks is every coach is like, I have no idea what my team's going to look like. You know, even a month in, some of them are like, yeah, we're still figuring it out. But I think that's both like sometimes frustrating, but also like so cool.
Yeah, that's why all these preseason polls, I think they're just more for entertainment purposes than like real knowledge. Because if the coaches don't know, nobody knows. And it reminds me of, I hate to bring this up, but Florida State football this year ranked maybe two in the country, and they're going to Ireland to play Georgia Tech, who's not ranked, and Georgia Tech comes out and smashes them, and everybody thinks it's a big upset, but it just turned out Florida State just was having a down year. You know, preseason doesn't mean anything, but it's so much fun to
talk. It is, right? But hey, the saying is, it's not about how you start, it's about how you finish.
That's
so
right.
I want to know who's going to finish in OKC in a couple of months. But okay, so while we're talking about all the talent that has graduated, what team or which teams, if there's multiple, don't know, do you think should be the most concerned about not having those big names and that senior leadership anymore?
You know, we mentioned Clemson. I think they're definitely up there. You look at Stanford, they lost Ali Conachero, great catcher, and the big name, Nyjah Kennedy, who transferred to Texas Tech, which is, I'm sure, hurts Stanford a lot. National Player of the Year, probably the top pitcher in the country, leaves Stanford, and then their number two pitcher, Reagan Krause, she graduated. You look at Virginia Tech, Emma Ritter, Cam Fagan, Addie Green, Lindsey Grine transfers to Oregon. But to me, and it may be just because I'm always a little worried about my alma mater and UNC, but they graduated a large class last year. Abby Sotomayor, Destiny Middleton, Skylar Brooks, Autumn Owen, and then Isabella Emmerling transfers to Oklahoma, who had a fantastic year last year. But last year, UNC's offense really led them. I mean, they could hit the ball. They had 9 players over 300, 3 players over 400. And Alex, only 2 of those players are returning this year, Sanaa Thompson and Alex Coleman. And that's 34 of their 44 home runs either graduated or transferred. So a team that is so reliant on offense to lose all of that has me concerned.
Yeah, I completely agree. And UNC, you mentioned their offense. I mean, they led the ACC last year in batting average. So you're talking about getting people on base and that really good high run production. Obviously looking to continue as everybody, right? Like get stronger in the circle, but their offense was crucial. So I'm excited to see how they bounce back. But also I think it's going to be a big challenge as a coaching staff to like try to replicate, but in their own way, right? No team is the same year after year. It doesn't matter even if you get the same players, right? You don't come back the same. Hopefully you come back better, but really excited to see what Coach Smith does. But I agree. And it's hard because you already mentioned Stanford and Nyjah Kennedy having transferred to Texas Tech. It's it's hard to even kind of like process because it doesn't even feel like a loss for us yet, because we never even got to reap the benefit of right. having Kennedy in the ACC. So, I mean, obviously wish her nothing but the best. I do feel like at the end of the day, softball and college sports in general are becoming a business, but I would have loved to see her stay in the ACC. But hey, Stanford is going to be great. They've got a great coaching staff too. So, but I agree with you on the UNC loss. Mm-hmm. And you can't teach experience. You can teach skills, you can teach knowing the game, that softball IQ, everything like that, but when it comes to experience and having that been there, done that approach, you need people that are confident. And hey, you don't always have to be confident to have done something before, but it definitely helps. You know, I just remember my career, and when we were all the time like talking about our end of the season goals, right? Because you have to identify them, just because you're working every day, and on the days where you just flat out suck, you have to keep those goals in mind, because otherwise, like, you feel like, what am I even working towards, you know?
Right.
But one of the things that one of our coaches would say frequently is, first, we've got to get there. Like, first, let's get to OKC. Once we get there, then we can look at winning there. And it is, though, like, that's where experience is crucial. So anyways, yeah. I don't know. I'm off my soapbox, but
no, the experience, they lost a lot of that. They'll have 7 new starters this year, have some big shoes to fill. But just a reminder that last year was Megan Smith's first year at Carolina and really elevated their offense from where it was, up over 100 points in her first year. So they have the ability and at the coaching level to kind of recreate that with some new players like they did last year. But it's just definitely something I will be keeping my eye on.
Yeah, I do agree. What Coach Smith did was great. And obviously, I think she's surrounding herself with great people, too. So really good stuff ahead for them. But obviously, you have to acknowledge the loss of really impactful players all the way around. So still looking back and kind of reflecting on what a year last year was, let's talk about some of the top 2024 storylines. Obviously, we've got to start with the reigning ACC champs, Duke. I mean, Britt, covering them at the ACC tournament was pretty interesting, pretty like so fun, right? But a little spicy.
They are a confident, swaggy bunch of dogs out there. They love
dogs, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, we were barking with them. I mean,
swaggy dogs. Yeah.
They had that it factor. When you look at a team, when you just go watch a team, you just see how they warm up, how they carry themselves, how they interact. And then you get to watch them play a bit. So that's why they're free swaggy dogs, because they're just damn good at softball, right? And they know it, which is great. But yeah, they won the ACC championship, the tournament. They made it to the Women's College World Series in OKC for the first time in program history, which was huge for the ACC. When it's been a Florida State, hey, they go to OKC all the time. This time it was Duke. I think they have so much to be proud of last year. They got a lot of rings on their fingers because of it. Their hands are getting heavy, but it's a new season. But last year, they got screwed by the selection committee, in my opinion, not getting a top 8 seed. And the reason that I was given and I was put out was because of their strength of schedule. They didn't play the top teams enough, even though Missouri played the top teams, but then lost to them. You know, I'm still bitter about that, but you know what Marissa Young did? She scheduled the top teams. They're playing Penn State this weekend down in Clearwater, who was a regional team last year. I have a great pitcher in Bridget Nemeth. And then they've got Texas Tech, Mississippi State. This is throughout the season now. Missouri, Florida twice, which her daughter, Layla, is a freshman there. They've got Nebraska. They've got UCLA. They've got Michigan. They've got Tennessee, all out of conference. So the excuse that they're not playing a strong strength of schedule this year is out the window.
Yeah, I really like what Coach Young did there. I'm like, okay, you guys don't think our strength of schedule is hard enough? Well, I'll give you something that is not able to be argued. So really good. And then I also, though, like, talk about spicy. Let's discuss quickly the unveiling of the ACC trophy on their wall after they won ACCs. That was hot.
I had so many thoughts go through my mind when – so they beat Florida State in the championship game, and then two, I believe it was coaches, started sprinting out to center field, and there was like a ACC tournament banner hanging on their wall, and they ripped that down, and already on the padding was ACC Tournament Champs 2024. So that was put up before the tournament started. I don't know who knew about it. I don't know if Coach Young knew about it, something that we can ask her when we talk to her in a couple weeks. But talk about having some confidence, and Florida State sitting in the dugout watching that happen. I'm like, ooh, this is dramatic. But hey, you can't call yourself a free swaggy dog if you don't have if you're not willing to put up, right?
Right. Hey, put your money where your mouth is. And they did exactly that. I mean, I think all of our faces when we were up in the like booth area, we were just like, okay. It baffled everybody. So
I just got I was like, wild. No way.
I know.
Talk about, wow. Yeah. No,
hey, we should have Kelly Torres on our podcast and ask her about it.
Oh, yeah. I bet she's the one that put it up there.
Probably, right? I'm just speaking it into existence right now. So that's funny. It was crazy. But okay, let's switch also just talking kind of last year, Florida State, they were able to get a top 16 seed, but unfortunately found themselves out in Norman, Oklahoma. I mean, that was just tough, right? Tough to end that way. But also Florida State was just a very experienced team, a really good offensive team that kind of struggled in the circle with kind of some pitching woes, injuries, that kind of thing. It's unfortunate. You had Allison Royalty get down with an injury. You had McKenna Reed fall victim to an injury. And then you're relying on a lot of young players, right, that don't have a lot of experience. And even if they weren't young, maybe some were a little bit older because we graduated some good arms, but they didn't have a lot of playing experience. And so, again, you talk about experience and how hard that is.
Yeah, and the freshman, Ashton Danley, I mean, she comes in and has to be the ace, where Coach Trelawney always kind of develops these young players throughout the season, not necessarily giving them all the starts early, but then putting them in pressure situations. I don't think she got to give that development that she would like to Danley last year. And, you know, I'm sure her confidence is built back up through the offseason and she's going to be great this year, but they got bit by the injury bug last year. Their offense did everything they could do to keep them in games and win games. They dropped some games that they shouldn't have, but, you know, coming back healthy, I think this offseason was probably really built around maintenance and longevity and strength and getting everybody healthy, and these overuse injuries that these young players are coming in from with the travel ball, which can be a whole nother podcast, another episode. Mm-hmm. But, you know, it's just sad to see when you have all these freshmen coming in and hurt their early in their careers. Yeah. I think they'll be good though, because they've added some good freshmen, some arms in the circle. And I mean, their offense is still going to be there.
Yeah, I think that's important too. You see some of these schools, and I know I was just on a call too with NC State this morning prepping for this weekend, and the transfers that are picked up are really crucial because they can come in and really make an impact, both mm-hmm. with experience, obviously, as well as potential on the actual field, right? And I know Florida State picked up a couple of arms that are just happening to be both seniors too. So again, just looking towards that experience and keeping them competitive while having a little bit more confidence under their belt. So obviously a few good returners on Florida State's team still too on the offense, with Beecham, and you've got Michaela Enfield, and then East Torres too. So, okay, Clemson. Look back on Clemson 2024.
You know, it was tough to watch the end of their season last year with all that talent, all that expectation from the players that we mentioned earlier that graduated, that started that program, reigning National Player of the Year, Valerie Cagle for them. But things just kind of fell apart after March 20th. That's kind of where I could pinpoint it. They also got bit with the injury bug. Cagle was out for a little bit. They had some middle infielders playing different positions due to injuries, but they lost to South Carolina on March 20th. And after that, they dropped a series to UVA, dropped a game to BC, lost to Furman, swept by Duke, then dropped games to Louisville and Notre Dame. And then at the end of the year, they ended up going to the Tuscaloosa Regional and lost two games to Southeast Louisiana. And then that was their season. And I think having that much talent and those expectations because of the success that core group of players had, you know, it was really disappointing to see. But I don't think you can put a legacy on 3 months of a player's career. Those players left a lasting legacy at Clemson. And I think I just wanted it so much for them, for what they've done. You know, we don't know what's going on behind the scenes of every team and what happened. I mean, there's just, these are people too who have families that experience loss and injuries and health issues, everything you can imagine that a 18 to 22 year old goes through. These girls go through it too. They're not immune from that as well. So, you know, some of them are continuing their career professionally, but they will always be remembered as the class that started Clemson and and raise that bar really high for them.
Absolutely. So, I mean, again, a lot to be proud of, but you just always kind of get hit with the bug of coulda, woulda, shoulda. But you can't live there, because if you live there, you get stuck there. But Clemson has a lot to look ahead to. So I'm really excited to see how they bounce back, because they've got great leadership. And we already mentioned Kelly Torres. I mean, she's on staff there too. So, again, just surrounding themselves with really good people and people that know how to win. So I think that's another one, right? Crazy. And you've got some Arizona ties there too on staff and really good
Jesse
staff.
Harper, Jesse. Great people that bring swag to that team. They know how to win, they know how to hold players accountable, and you know, I think that's something that Clemson needs. They need some hard-nosed ball players out there
that
aren't going to put up with any BS.
Love it. Yeah. So one last look back to, I think, at a team that kind of surprised us last year. I mean, surprised us in regard to, again, that experience, that word we keep coming back to, but probably not surprising as it pertains to just coaching and how good Joe Harden is and how great she's been really throughout her years out in Virginia too. So a team that has just really started to put it together. And I know it takes a long time to build a program when you're newly named a head coach. I mean, I think she's been there for like 8 or 9 seasons now. So kind of getting on that longer side finally. But I mean, the first like 4 to 6 years, I mean, they're a grind, they're a struggle. So
coming into a program is not easy. And you have all the outside noise. If you don't have immediate success when you step into a new field, it's hard. You've got to be able to turn that out and trust your process and trust your culture building and what you want your team to look like. And I think Joe Harden's right there. They've got that beautiful facility that was built a couple years ago. And then they've got Eden Bigham in the circle, who really put the nation on notice and made everybody recognize who she is when they went out to Tennessee for their second regional ever. And she shut out Miami of Ohio twice. Why that's a big deal? Because Miami of Ohio hit 160 home runs last year.
Freaking tanks.
Like, 160. That's, what, 2.7 home runs per game? And Eden Bigham went out there and shut them out twice in 7 and incomplete games and put the world on notice that, hey, Virginia's got an ace in the circle. She's developed some new pitches. She's got that changeup working for her now. She's only going to get better. So you have an ace in the circle, you've got a chance to win. So Virginia's got a lot to build off of.
I love it. We'll talk about another ace in the circle too, Abby Dunning for Boston College. I mean, she was legit, and somebody else that you just go out there, you watch her compete, and you're kind of have those thoughts too. I mean, at least I do. I'm sure you do too. But like, man, I'd love to play behind her because they're just competitive and they're gritty.
Yeah, I'd love to have caught her. I mean, she's just one of those people that, you know, when they go in the circle, they're expecting to win. They're just looking at the batter walk in the box, like with a little smirk, like, let's go. And she throws gas. She's going to be great again this year. I think she needs to develop a second or third pitch to offset that rise ball. But she does that, she's going to be some trouble in the ACC tournament at BC this year. So I think Abby Dunning is going to do big things. Look for her on that All-ACC conference team at the end of the year.
Love it. Let's switch gears a little bit. So less team-focused, more player-focused. Britt, who are your top 3 players to watch this season?
I'm going to go with Cassidy Kerr, number 1. All cast, no breaks, because she is a dog. I mean, she is an absolute competitor in the circle. She's strong. She throws gas. And last year, sophomore year, and her freshman year, Jayla Wright was the ace all regular season last year. But when it came postseason and they needed Cass, she stepped up in the ACC tournament and regionals and supers at Missouri. I think she was just unbelievable, showing as an underclassman just the confidence to go. She's fearless, Alex. She is absolutely fearless. I think she's going to have a great year. You know, you worry about losing a pitcher like Jayla Wright, but you got Cassidy Kerr right there. I mean, she's a workhorse. Looking at the Hokies, Corey McMillan. She has a big bat. She transferred in last year from Radford. She had 21 home runs, 64 RBIs. In her previous 2 years at Radford, she hit 17 home runs and only 59 RBIs. So what a breakout year. And having that much improvement in 1 year, I'm just excited to see what she does this year. I mean, how much better? What is her ceiling? Because now I feel like she's just been unleashed. And what is she going to do? And I'm going to say one more person from Virginia Tech that we didn't talk about at all last year because after 9 games, she had a season-ending injury, and that's Rachel Castine. But in those 9 games, she hit .526, 5 home runs, and 17 RBIs in 9 games. So if that was a full season, I don't think it's a fluke that she just had good 9 games. I hate that she got injured, but you know she's hungry to come back and get out on the field. So Cassie Curd, Cordy McMillan, and Rachel Castine are my 3. What about you?
Awesome. Yeah, no, I love it. I think those are our 3 legit players, so I'm excited. That's all I can say. I feel like just the word excited and experience mm-hmm. keep coming to mind. Mine have to be starting with Beecham. Obviously, Florida State's just one just phenomenal kid. Have gotten to see her grow up through the program, just really through her life, it feels like. So she was recruited when I feel like she was 5 years old, which I'm kidding, but that's what it feels like. She was the ACC Freshman of the Year last year and then the National Freshman of the Year. So just kind of a testament to really what she was able to do just in year one. Now, obviously, everybody knows the hard part is what do you do after you come back after having a really great year? Because repeating success is really tough. And a lot of times the pressure to perform is so overpowering. And it feels like the weight of the world is on your shoulders. But I do trust that she's got really great coaches, obviously know firsthand. That won't allow her to feel that burden and her teammates as well. So she led the team in batting average, home runs, RBIs. Again, numbers speak for themselves. Amina Vega, she's somebody that I'm a huge fan of. I think just her leadership, both on and off the field. I mean, she's very spiritually driven off the field. So you can kind of just tell like her morals and her ethics. And then I think she very sincerely brings that same person onto the field, just obviously probably ultra competitive in addition to that other stuff. So she was the defensive player of the year last year for the ACC. She turned 9 double plays, only made 3 errors in the season. And playing second base, I think that's pretty impressive. I mean, it's impressive no matter what. I never only made 3 errors on the year. I was definitely like double, maybe triple, I don't know, maybe quadruple that sometimes. But I mean, who's counting? So again, like, her versatility, her athleticism, and she swings the bat so well, too. She hit almost .370 last year, 18 doubles, like, come on, and then 12 home runs, too. So she was, like, kind of that 1-2 punch with Claire Davidson for the Blue Devil offense. So I'm excited to see how she bounces back because she is a player that has consistently done well throughout her career. So really good stuff and really high expectations for Vega, but in a really good way. And then you mentioned, too, Britt, for UNC, Alex Coleman. I mean, again, just somebody that's so impressive. Unless there was somebody else that I missed, like I'm pretty sure she led the conference last year in batting average, hitting .434. She can run a little bit and kind of just that spark for this UNC team. Obviously, they're going to need it this year too because, mm-hmm. again, we already mentioned they graduated a lot of players. So looking kind of ahead as to expectations and players that really need to step up, she's going to be one of them. And I'm excited to see what she does. But she's also older too. So we talk experience, we talk confidence, and we just talk maturity. And to me, she's that player.
Yeah, I think they need that at the top of their lineup. And it's her senior season, and that culture that Megan Smith's trying to develop, it's going to rest on those senior shoulders. And I think Alex Coleman's going to have a great year as well.
Yeah, good stuff. So kind of shifting gears again back to the team aspect, who do you think is your sleeper team?
A sleeper team that first year in the ACC is the Stanford Cardinal. They are my sleeper team. Yes, I know they lost Nyjah Kennedy and Allie Carnachero and Reagan Krause. Yes, I know that. But they are coming off back-to-back World Series appearances. They know how to win. They know what it takes to get to Oklahoma City. And then to win the ACC, I look at their schedule. And they've got Georgia Tech, Syracuse, Notre Dame, Virginia Tech, Clemson, Cal, Virginia, and BC. They don't play Florida State. They don't play Duke. They don't play any of the teams in Carolina. So I think first year in the ACC, that's a winnable schedule for a talented Stanford team. So for me, they are my sleeper team, even with the departures of what the best pitcher in the country.
Yeah, I think that's good. I mean, I don't disagree, so I guess we'll see. But I'm going to go with mine being Virginia. I just think that what Coach Harden is doing out there is really impressive. You look at some of what they were able to accomplish last year. They went to the regional final for the first time in program history. Again, it's a marathon. It's not a sprint, and Coach Harden knows that best. Eden Bigham in the circle is so impressive, and I think she has been for the last couple of years now. So again, somebody that's putting together a really impressive body of work for her career. So I just really want to see the Virginia offense continue to step up and put the runs on the board to help support Bigham and the other pitchers in the circle, of course. So We'll see.
Yeah, the expectation's there for Virginia now. Like the,
it is.
They have the expectation of themselves now to win, make postseason. Last year was just the second time in program history they did it, but those players now expect to be there. So that work ethic, that mindset's going to be a little bit different. I like that pick.
Yeah, thanks. Well, I definitely think there's something to be said. Again, we've harped on experience, but I think that there's a different level of confidence too when it comes to players and teams actually believing they belong somewhere. Mm-hmm. So that belief in yourself, whether it's, you know, in sports or in life, it is, I feel like, actually majority of the battle. I was going to say half the battle, but I think it's way more than half.
Yeah,
I mean, absolutely. You got to fake it till you make it sometimes and when it happens best. So should we pick favorites to win the ACC or is it too soon?
No, it's always, let's pick.
Never too soon, yeah.
No, I think it's kind of, I don't want to say easy for me to pick, but I mean, coming off a World Series appearance, ACC championship, an ACC tournament championship, should have been a top eight seed, the Blue Devils. For me, it's got to be Duke. They have everything on their resume saying that they're going to be great again this year. So, yeah, I think the Blue Devils are going to do it, but they got to play the games first.
All right. Well, I'm not a betting expert here, but if I were, I think I would say that I'm doubling down on your bet and I'm mm-hmm. also going to pick Duke. Yeah, you like betting way more than me, huh? Vegas girl.
Don't call me out.
No, I'm kidding. But no, I'm going to pick Duke too. Like you said, I think on paper, they're the team to beat. I would love for somebody to prove me wrong just because that means there's really good softball happening. But I really love what Coach Young is doing out there on the field. And I love the program and the way they support a lot of things in life, like initiatives on and off the field. So been super impressed with them for a while now. And that's who I'm going to go with, too. So
nice.
We'll see. Yeah.
Well, what's going on this weekend? If you want to watch some ACC games, there's some really good ones going on. Duke, like we mentioned, is going down to Clearwater for the NFCA Leadoff Classic. They'll face Penn State, Mississippi State, Missouri, Kentucky. And I believe you can watch those games on Game Changer. Florida State is headed to Mexico, and they've got two awesome games against Oklahoma State. They open up their season with Oklahoma State World Series team and end their time in Mexico with Oklahoma State again. Those games can be found on Flow Sports. Clemson's got an SEC game down in Boca against Ole Miss. Virginia is heading down to Columbia, South Carolina. Two games against South Carolina. I don't think those are streamed. Clemson can be found on Flow Sports. Virginia, I think, can get some live stats, unfortunately. And then Cal, the new ACC member, is headed to Tempe, Arizona. They've got some Power Four games against Minnesota and Arizona State. The Arizona State game can be found on ESPN.
Perfect. Power Four. That was weird. All right. I don't know how I like that one, but okay. Well, good stuff. Everybody, thanks for watching and listening. And as always, like and subscribe and leave us your comments or messages about anything else that you would like us to cover or any questions that you might have. Again, this is your exclusive podcast covering all things ACC softball. So thank you. Officially episode 1, season 2, Up the Coast with Alex and Britt, and we're here for it. So thanks for tuning in.